This is Manga Cubed, episode 106, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of July 21st, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
I like anime now, too.
Good show. Alright, well...
Yeah.
It continues to be summer, and summer is hot, and I hate that.
You don't even know the half of it. I mean, when it gets to August, it's gonna get worse. It's not even the final form here.
Oh dear. Well, with that news and that in mind, and considering that neither of us have any energy, let's go ahead and jump right into the news, shall we?
Yeah, go.
All right, starting with the Japanese comic rankings for July 7th through the 13th. And starting with 10th place, we have Seven Seeds, Volume 27.
9th place is Witchcraft Works, Volume 7.
We have Black Butler, Volume 19.
7th place is Gintama 50, Volume 55.
6th place is Umimachi Diary, Volume 6, Shigatsu ni Nareba Kanojo wa.
Shigatsu. That's like April, anyways. 5th place, Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma, Volume 8.
4th place, Chihaya Furu, Volume 25.
3rd place, Assassination Classroom, Volume 10.
2nd place, Kuroko no Basuke, Volume 28.
You just say Kuroko Basketball. That was cool. 1st place, Blue Exorcist, Volume 13.
Indeed. So it looks like One Piece has done its thing and is now... has now.
Where is it? 16th place.
Yeah. Has now slunk back to its cave, awaiting its next round at victory.
Alright. Like, in time, my friends, in time. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, please. Nope, in time, my friends, in time.
Yep. All right, next, we've got the New York Times manga bestseller list for July 6th through 12th. And starting in 10th place, again, we have Attack on Titan, Volume 2.
9th place, the Seven... What?
Yeesh, yeah. It's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. 9th place, the Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 3. Hey, look, it's jumping up. There's a bond.
8th place, Sword Art Online, Fairy Dance, Volume 1.
7th place, UQ Holder, Volume 2.
6th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
5th place, Pokemon Adventure, Volume 23.
4th place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 1.
3rd place, Nisekoi, False Love, Volume 4.
2nd place, Yu-Gi-Oh! Zeo, Volume 5.
1st place, Naruto, Volume 66.
All right, and the North American anime and manga releases for July 13th through the 19th. And starting with the anime releases,
That is a lot of anime.
Yeah. We have Anohana, The Flower We Saw That Day, the movie, DVD, Blu-ray collector's edition with CD, or the regular Blu-ray or regular DVD.
Hello, Aniplex's price. Well, actually, the DVD and Blu-ray makes sense, but... What about these special collections? This should make them cost like $30 more than the Blu-ray.
Well, $79, that's hardly much for them. But
actually, yeah, it is a little better than the last time, remember. Okay, Dead Man Wonderland, DVD Blu-ray Complete Series.
Fairy Tale, DVD Blu-ray Part 11. I need to buy more Fairy Tale.
Gurren Lagann, the movie, Childhood's End, Gurren Lagann, the movie, The Lights in the Sky. Are Stars, double feature Blu-ray. Wait, there's two movies? There's only one. Huh. Aniplex, you know.
Kill la Kill, Blu-ray, DVD, and DVD Blu-ray limited edition with CD.
Oh my goodness, I need to finish that series. Yes. Majestic Prince, Blu-ray collection and DVD collection, one.
Mononoke, DVD collection, one.
It's not Princess Mononoke, is it?
No, that's a completely different series.
Because it has no print. Okay. Fuella Magi, Madoka Magica, the movies part 1 and 2, DVD and Blu-ray limited edition, and Fuella Magi, Madoka Magica, the movie part 1, Beginnings, and part 2, Eternal DVD. That's
indeed. A lot. Silver Spoon, DVD for complete first season.
I just froze at Aniplex's pricing there.
Yeah.
Soul Love Root Darkness, Season 3, Blu-ray Complete Collection.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Classic Complete Series, $229.
Wait, is that just the first season?
The classic, the original. Not just the first season, but I guess the whole thing.
I mean, the first generation.
Yeah, so first all part. Of that.
That sounds worth it. Well, how many parts were there? Was the dual island? There was the little bits between it, and then there was the battle city, and then there was the part where they entered those guys' place.
I really don't think it's important.
Okay, I'm just trying to count how many. And Yu-Gi-Oh! 3D, Bond Beyond Time, Blu-ray, and DVD.
Even though it says Blu-ray twice, but yeah.
It's supposed to be DVD.
Yep. All right, for the manga releases, Devils and Realist, Volume 2.
Fairy Tail, Volume 14.
Monster Perfect Edition, Volume 1.
Terraform Mars, Volume 1.
What Did You Eat Yesterday, Volume 3.
I had Vermicelli. Okay. World War Blue, Volume 6.
And in other releases, we have Miku Color, Kei's Hatsune Miku Illustration Works Art Book.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Kinotani Tabata. Okay, I thought that's what it was, that series. All right, what other news do we have here?
Okay, so from Kotaku, One Piece theme park is going to be opening in Tokyo next spring.
Cool.
You know what that means? Skypea Land.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
And Water 7 then, except I'll probably drown. I thought I would go there anyway.
Yeah,
but that's pretty good though. It's just that, you know, how One Piece has been hyped up, they really have a bad. I really don't feel as hyped about this one in a way, because it you know, with the airplane one, that was just terrible. Terrible. Like, really? Like, look, we have One Piece. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, Pokemon has like Pokemon everywhere.
Yeah, well.
You know?
Nonetheless.
I saw my little sister, and I had her compare, and she's like, yeah, the Pokemon was easier today. I'm like, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
More news. Zettai Kaaren Children manga resumes with final arc in August. And guess what? The girls will be entering high school.
Yay. Suddenly the fan art multiplies exponentially.
Yep. That's, you know, if. Yeah, if.
Yeah, so that will...
I should actually start reading that series. I mean, I do like sci-fi and psychic powers and supernatural powers.
It is a lot of fun. It is a very funny series, so...
Holy crap, man. It's going to take a while to get through it.
Yeah, you'd still enjoy it. But
yeah.
Nonetheless, let's see. Yeah, so that's exciting.
I think I was trying to get actually reading it. I think I was like chapter... I was like, I don't know where I was.
Yep.
Anyways, Leiji Matsumoto to launch new Captain Harlock manga.
Oh my.
Series One Shot celebrates face manga creator's 60th year since debut. Is it going to be a one shot, or is it actually going to be doing a series? Because the problem is, this guy's like 84 years old. But I know Asians, they usually don't live that long. That's in Japan. Except for that one Asian old man guy, but you know.
I've never heard that anywhere.
Okay, fine. I don't know, maybe I got mixed up.
You probably did. Let's see. Yeah, so yeah, I actually watched the first episode of the old Captain Harlock series.
Oh, you did? Where?
Yeah, Netflix.
Ugh.
No, wait, no, not Netflix. I meant Crunchyroll. It's on Crunchyroll.
I want to see all this series. You got to do with space and stuff. I like space.
Yeah, well, watch that one. Yeah, you can.
Your titles all sound awesome.
Yeah, you can see. You can see. You can hear my opinion of it in episode 3 of Ananoob Current, which is on the website right now.
Nice advertising here. Anyways, so it's going to debut in the next issue on August 19th. Koichi Shimahoshi will illustrate the series. Of course, Leiji Matsumoto will be the writer of it. And the first 50-page chapter will include color pages. Wait, all of them? Or no, that's the first. Wait, all of the pages?
I don't know. Is that what it says?
Well, okay, it says the first 50-page chapter will include color pages. So it sounds like it's going to be all the pages in one chapter will be colored. Dang. If that's the case, wow. Way to go, man. Way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that would be interesting to see if that actually happens.
Yep. Okay, some more news. Yes. Shonen Jump is going to have an ultra-important Naruto announcement next week.
They keep saying that.
They keep saying that. Isn't next week this week?
I don't know. I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, it's supposed to have come out. It's supposed to come out on the 22nd. We don't know yet. We don't know yet.
I still haven't heard it. Yeah,
All I can say is that since it's an ultra important Naruto announcement, I'm just going to say that if it's what I think it is, well, you'll know what I feel about it when I hear about it. But, yeah, it might have to do with the so-called movie or maybe talking about how the series will end, or hopefully not what I think it is, because after all the saying it's going to, One Piece continue 10 years more.
Yeah.
Okay,
I highly doubt that.
But. I know, because Naruto said it's going to end. If he just suddenly changes it, I'll be like, man. No. Anyways, Attack on Titan, Sunny, Showa, History of Showa, Japan, get Harvey nods. Okay. So, nomination.
Yep. We'll see where that goes.
Attack on Titan. It's not bad, but there's a series I like more than that.
Well, yeah.
Which I still need to catch up on. Anyways. Last Evangelion manga volume's bonus story features a new character. Okay.
That makes no sense.
Okay. New character feature and limited edition package of Volume 14 and Yoshiyuki Sadamoto's manga. Go ahead, you say.
Okay, the only thing that what I'm thinking right here is if he decides to end the manga the way a bunch of of the longer running Evangelion doujinshi decided to end it by ending it with characters as kids. Because that is not all that uncommon among doujinshi. And so I've seen many where it ends with from the point of view of Asuka and Shinji's kid. Which, if that's what he does, I will laugh so hard. Because that would be absolutely silly.
And then they'll be forgiven. Be like, okay, that worked. But we get something new to the character. Oh, this character could have been in the series. Too late.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it was something along the lines of that one character that was added for one of the games. But I can't remember her name. And so, we'll see what happens. But it does seem kind of silly to add a brand new character that late.
Then again, Mari was added in the rebuild. So.
In the movie. Yeah. Oh, maybe she'll show up. It seems like it's a brand new character, so.
Yes, that's the thing. That's why I'm like, okay. But when you said the whole, there might be a child thing, I'm like, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens there. But if that is.
And because the series ended, the fans can't even get mad. It's like, hey, calm down.
Go
to other series.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But, alright, what else do we have?
Zetman Dark Hero Mangas Act 1 ends.
That's still going.
It's Act 1, and it's been going on for 12 years. It debuted, Zetman debuted as a one-shot in 1994, and it got published in 2002.
That's a long skip. But, yeah, that is kind of funny how, you got a series that's like, it's been going on for 12 years, and now it's, the first act is over, and it's like, what?
You mean like One Piece?
Kind of like that, except it doesn't split the story into acts. It's more, hey, this is just an ongoing
part one's narrative. Over, part two starts now. Two-year time.
Well, yeah, there was that.
Part two, 2-year time.
Maybe there will be a part three with an even further time skip. That would be silly.
30-year time skip. Wait, what?
No.
You thought it would be 3, wasn't it? Nope. 2-30. Like, what the heck, man?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, I guess. I don't read that manga, so I don't really care.
Yeah, I read it. I actually caught up on it. And I was like, wait, what? And, I just still haven't caught up on it. Anyway.
Yep. All right, what other news do we have?
Viz Shonen Jump is going to publish the one-shot by Siren author.
Siren, that's a series I need to get into more again.
I started
reading it, but then I lost interest or something.
I tried to get into it, but I'm not saying the content is bad. It reminded me of something I used to read, and I kind of got irritated with that one too.
You mean Bleach?
Oh,
the art style looks very much like a certain, sort of Bleach-inspired art, but
no, I'm not trying to say Bleach. I was thinking of. Oh, you're not gonna like it if I say what it is. Should I say it anyway?
Go ahead.
Gantz.
I do not. Well.
I don't know why, but
a little bit.
It reminds me of that. The concept of how they go into a different world and.
Reminds me a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and but at least it's not as bad, but it's like, I don't know, I just, the pacing just, I was like, are they going to get out of this first level first? And I just sort of lost track of it.
Yeah, the thing about this series is that, from what I know of the ending, it seems like it's one of those few series that actually has a romantic coupling pairing that actually, even if it doesn't, they don't flat out end up together, it still ends it in a way that it's, you know, satisfying. So that I'm kind of thinking that'd be kind of nice to read a series that does that, because it's so rare.
You mean read a shonen series that does it?
Yeah.
It's so very rare.
Indeed. All right, let's see. Desk is dusty. But yeah, anyway, I think that's it. That's the news then.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, yeah.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move into the manga review. And I know we said we'd be doing Attack on Titan this week, but we decided, you know what, 4 volumes is way too much. There's no point in doing 4 volumes of manga when we really don't have to. So we decided instead we're just going over the brand new volumes here. Fairy Tail, Volume 40, and Terraform Mars, Volume 1.
Slightly better Attack on Titan.
Well, we'll see about that. And also, but yeah, and also just as a heads up, next week we'll get back to Attack on Titan because we now have...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we now have have until the 5th of... let's see.
That'll be Volume 7-8, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yes. Yeah, because we have until the 5th of August before the first Shokugeki no Soma chapter volume comes out. And that's, let's see, that's, so we got this week, and we got next week, it doesn't come out, so we'll be doing Attack on Titan 2 weeks in a row before Food Wars comes out, because, yeah, we've got the volume that, let's see, yeah, we got this week,
Shokugeki no Soma,
which came out, which is the week after Shokugeki no Soma, and then we've got next week, which is, let's see, yeah, we got next week, which is not the 5th yet, and then the following that in 2 weeks is the 5th, but then we have to, you know, we still have to read it, so that will be a slight interruption, but we'll get there when we get there. We'll just keep an eye out for that and pick it up when the time comes, but to start off, let us say, Fairy Tail Volume 40, let's start with that.
All right, good. I was like, okay, good, let's start with that. Just start something familiar, it's better.
Get yeah. Yeah, well, the thing, yeah, here we have... yeah, we finish off the,
Battle Dragon Festival King Arc, whatever it's called. I forget what it's even called anymore.
Yeah, we ended up with, the Dragon Festival finishing off. They win, and then you also get to see, you know, you get the foreshadowing of, it's still gonna go wrong, but then you've got the Lucy from the future that wakes up somewhere in this field, and she finds Natsu and Happy, and they take her to the rest of the guild.
Oh, and they're clearly... I know where they clearly are.
And yeah, this is really weird, because that future has been avoided, but there's still a future somewhere where they are in the afterlife somehow, and I'm just like, this is very bizarre, but let's not get into...
Oh, this bizarre adventure does it best.
We've got Bleach levels of confusing afterlife right here. So let's not get into that. That would just confuse us mightily. And all right, and then of course you've got... See, and then they have the party.
Yeah, the after party. All the women look really nice in their dresses.
Because dresses little, with massive cleavage. You can just imagine Mashima just sitting there, and he's like, "This is what it was all about. The excuse to put them all in medieval to Renaissance styled." Bodice dresses. Oh, yeah.
I thought it was Victorian, but okay.
Yeah, I guess, honestly, they're not really from anywhere. It's just slightly old-looking dresses that happen to show off massive cleavage, and we know that's exactly why Mashima drew that.
That is true. Victorian dresses don't look like they show that at all. Yeah. They never say, oh, I know what they should do. cleavage.
Yes.
That's better.
All of the cleavage those, from everyone.
Those silly English people, they don't know. They don't know fans are wrong. Like, hey, we're modest here.
Yeah, and you also have the scene that I think for many people is a little bit infamous where Juvia basically says, this is Juvia 2.0, and shows all the different versions, where she's like, I'm going to be more honest, and I'm going to tell you, it's like, hey, it's like, I love you, and then he rejects her and says, this is a new era of Greys. If I don't like something, I come right out and say it. And she, of course, ignores that, and a lot of fans are like, oh, you're stringing us along, you stupid manga author. Though it is kind of a little confusing, because a lot of people were saying, okay, well, what was he going to tell her right before he got shot, you know? And it's like, I highly doubt that he, you know, I don't know. It's kind of hard to imagine that he'd choose the middle of a battle to reject someone. But then again, maybe he'd be, hey, could you stop? He's like, you know, I don't actually like you, so could you stop being all acting like yourself, because you're going to get us killed. And then he provided a real-life example of what he was talking about. But still, it's a little confusing, because people are wondering, wait, what was he going to say? But then is what he's saying now his honest opinion? Because later on in the series after this, you kind of get moments where you're just, wait. So if he rejected her, if Mashimo is trying to say, oh, he rejects her, so this is, we're done here. What was with that special chapter? What was with all of the things that you do with those characters? So, but, yeah,
I'm totally confused here.
But anyway, we have some more. We basically have all the different groups sort of, reconciling. We've got Urza. I didn't notice this the first time I read it, but she pulls Happy out of her cleavage. And then she pulls Charles and Panther Lily out of her cleavage as well, one must assume, and gives them to, what's her name? I forgot it. Miliana, yeah.
Miliana.
But yeah, I'm just like, wait.
I don't think those cats enjoyed it. Probably like, oh my god, I could breathe now. I can breathe.
Yeah, I'm just like, that's weird. Do you usually keep cats down the front of your dress? And how on earth did you hide them there? That is a very tight
dress. It's Urza, don't forget. You know, she can, like, make her stuff appear.
Well, yeah, I don't think she'd do that to the cats, but... Yeah, and then we've got a big fight. Everyone's like, oh, hey, Yukino should join us. And Sabretooth is like, hey, no, you need to come back to us. And everyone's arguing about it and everything, so... And then... Let's see, and then of course you got the scene where the king shows up, but it turns out that Natsu stole the king's crown and robe. And is just lording it over everyone. Everyone's just like, oh, Jesus, like, what are you doing?
It was actually It was actually pretty funny, because I remember the Edelos arc where he beat the king up. And then he made Mistogun act like, you know, the good guy. And he was a bad guy, now he's a good guy.
Yeah, and he's like, now I'm the king.
That's actually funny. I'm sure Maju was like, did anybody notice this? I'm like, I noticed it.
Yeah, and I love it. It was just like, Hungry Wolf Knight, sick him. He's like, we can't beat him. And yeah, that was pretty hilarious. And then, of course, you've got the meeting between... Let's see, you've got the meeting of all the other characters that were in the background. You've got Jalal and Meridi, who meet this old woman that gives them a letter from Urtir. And it turns out she's basically like, sorry, it's like, I need to leave. And then and then Gray is thinking about how, you know, just sitting there being all melancholy. And then he sees the old woman walking by the road, and he suddenly has this just moment where he's like, hey, wait a minute. And he realizes, oh, wait a minute, that's Urtir. Like, she didn't die, she just sacrificed her time and grew a lot older. And so Gray's all sad because both the mother and daughter sacrificed themselves for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be very surprised if Mashima doesn't find some way to make her young again. But this is quite a nice ending, you know, for her story. Just... You know, she lives because that's Mashima's thing. But at the same time, it's also like, you know, she's really old now, so she, I guess she can't be around her friends anymore or something. I know, because that's what happens when you turn old, right? You get locked away from the rest of the world, right?
You get locked away the rest of the world in a place called the Old People's Home.
She's like, I'm going to wizard's old person home. He's like, you don't have to. Shut up. But yeah. And so, and then you move on and you find out that Magnolia has actually, you know, now that Fairy Tail aren't losers anymore.
Yes.
And it is also like they show up as like, here, I've got something awesome to show the townspeople. It's like, ta-da! And he's holding up the crown and he's like, the king's crown, you kept it? I was like, oh wait, that's not it. It's like, what, you really kept it? And he's like, it's like, our trophy and the king's cup, and you've got bunch of the other guild members posing behind him, and everyone's like, yay. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and so you basically have the town is like, hey, now that you're not losers here, we rebuilt your we rebuilt your guild. And they're like, yay, thank you. And you've got afterwards you see a showdown between Mavis and Zeref. It's basically, Zeref basically says, you know what, I've had enough, even though I was technically, I would seem more like a good guy, now I'm gonna, you know what, I'm gonna kill everyone. And Mavis is like, no you're not. And then we finish in full that storyline, and we jump to the next story, which starts off, of course, with all of the girls in the bath, because of course they are.
Because fans, reminds me of like, oh, this is during the time when he was writing three chapters at once, like one week after the other. So it was I need some energy. All right, fan surf.
Yeah, and the thing is though that it's, I don't know, this seems like the most fan servicey thing that he's ever done, and he's constantly trying to top himself, which is kind of hilarious in its own way.
Oh, I taught myself better. I know, I'll do this.
It's like, oh, yeah, it's like after having Lucy and Natsu go for a tumble in a bell, giggity, I'll have Natsu grab her breasts, and then I'll have Kana say, hey, I heard that he copped a feel. And it's like, you can't keep it a secret from me. And Lucy immediately is like, that cat! And then, of course,
Kana Lucy Yuri ship.
Yep, and then of course, to make it even sexier than what he had done before, he has Kana be the one that gropes Lucy. And yeah.
I ship.
Yeah, it is a pretty ridiculous chapter just because of all the fan service, and you're just like, oh dear. Whatever.
You get to one of the best parts. Keep going.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the best part is, of course, that we find out that Urza and Wendy are off at the theater performing a play based on Rave Master.
It's called Rave, actually. Just Rave. The anime is called Rave Master. It's confusing. No,
that's what it is. But yeah, and then also we find out that Flair is there, even though they're like, oh, look, Urza's been there all along. But I was like, no, wait, that's not her.
Why is Urza's hair so long? That's what you should ask.
Yeah. And then it turns out she's kind of apologetic, and it is kind of a funny scene because she's like, I've got nowhere to go. And Lucy's like, well, you want me to talk to the master for you? And she blushes, and everyone's like, wait, what? She's joining? And then Juvia's like, wait, I do not like this. This does. He's like, she's too much like me.
And then, remember the sign? She was like, wait, you chemo join?
Yo, yeah, then, that was funny.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, we can't have her join. That would mean that there's two characters with the
But Juvia, you have blue hair, she has red hair. That's not the point.
Yeah. But then of course Flair's like, but I don't want to join Fairy Tail. They're like, what are you even here for then? And then let's see, Urza shows up and is like, hey, where's Natsu and Gray? And of course it turns out that they are fighting each other after beating up the monster quickly. And yeah, they end up, when Urza tries to stop them, they punch her, and they realize who they'd punched, and they get their asses handed to them. And then they end up getting a job from, let's see, the number four rank among the Wizard Saints is one of the four emperors of Ishgal. who has requested a job. So they go and they find him, and it turns out he looks like a tree. And he's,
well, what's his name? I can never get his actual name.
What was it again?
Warod
Sequin.
Warod Sequin?
I guess. I don't know. Wait for the anime, dang it.
Dang it.
No, but really. So it turns out he does, you know, flower and plant magic. And he also likes to, you know, he likes to joke. He's serious and then he jokes. Izak, indeed. Izak, forgive my presumption, but are you the wizard Saint Ward, Warod Sequin? Are you not? Indeed I am. I am Warod Sequin. Izak, I'm joking. And I was like, huh? Actually, that was a joke. Izak, this old guy is wearing me out. And,
I don't know anymore.
So he basically sends them to this village where, you know, they have to, you know, they have to help out. They have to protect this fire thing. We also find out that Warod was one of the four founding members of Fairy Tail, along with, Mavis, Hades, or as he was...
Precht.
Whatever his name was at
Precht.
The time.
It's Precht.
Precht, yeah. And then Precht. Another guy that I can't identify, but who looks a little bit like Luxus. Except I don't think that's who that is. He's related because, you know, I don't think it's Makarov because he's much bigger than Makarov.
Well, if he looks like Laxus and he's not Makarov, but he looks like Laxus, he might be Makarov.
He could be Makarov's, dad,
uncle?
Maybe? No, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, you've got, what's his face, the guy that became Hades, Precht, who looks like he's kind of in his middle age. And so by the time that we see him pass on the guild leadership to Makarov, Makarov was already a bit on the old side. And
he was like 40 or something.
Yeah, and Precht was already an old man. But at the same time, so the ages don't quite, they don't quite line up. So I guess we'll find out who this other person is later. But, yeah, they come to the village, and they find out that it is a village of giants. And, of course, you've got a bit of an amusing moment where Natsu's like, they're huge, 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 and sees other giants. And then focuses on Lucy's chest, huge, and then focuses on Wendy, tiny, and then huge. It's like, this is a village of giants, and then I can't tell who it is that says it, but just a line, did someone say something about me just now? And so it turns out that, hey, they need to, they need to melt the ice. And then you find they got these treasure hunters that get in the way. You find that there's this sort of strange-looking guy with a bandana. And we also see that Minerva is a part of the guild Succubus Eye now. So she's there. And so basically the rest of the chapter is them fighting against this guild of these three treasure hunters.
Fairy Tail versus Monster Hunters.
Pretty much. And you also see that Urza tries to go and figure out what's going on, but she ends up getting turned into a child. That's where the chapter ends. So.
Yes, anyway, that's a horrible cliffhanger. Anyways, the reason why I believe Monster Hunters is because with the weapon, the hammer that one guy, the one that says Dune all the time, it clearly looks like the kind of hammer I've used in Monster Hunter. And those actually hurt very well. And those actually help beat up those armored monsters that are really hard to kill with a regular sword. Take forever to kill them, trust me. And then there's a sniper with the... Well, there's no sniping. There's only bow guns or something. I forget what it was. Bow guns, crossbow guns, heavy bow guns. Light bow gun, heavy bow gun, and there's bows.
Is
the other guy having that weird sword that kind of changed? That was pretty awesome.
Indeed.
I never seen that one. It's the only one I've never seen.
Yeah, but nonetheless, so yeah, that was the volume. I think it's one of the better ones, mostly because it doesn't focus on any real plot elements. It's just kind of being goofy, you know? It's just a lot of silliness, a lot
this
of
volume?
Between chapters. Yeah. This volume in general.
Actually, this volume kind of had some content in it, like some content that...
Well, important you know,
like,
stuff.
Okay, like pretty much after the events of the Dragon Festival and how the whole Eclipse thing was basically the magic from a book, from the Book of Zeref and stuff, and how it was covered up. I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. He just made them, he just wiped out their memories. I was like,
yeah.
Just like, oh, man.
It was quite nice. The thing with it is that, I don't know, it's kind of hard to say. I definitely rank volume 40 higher than a bunch of the previous volumes. It's just kind of in general, it's more enjoyable. It has some moments that I find a little questionable. For, you know, plot reasons, character reasons, fan service reasons. But in general, it's enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I quite like it overall.
Although I have to admit, when Future Rogue said, you know, Broch will die in a year, I'm like, wait, so we're going to have a one-year time skip at some point, maybe?
Possibly, yeah, another time skip. I don't
They're
know.
They're going to age!
I'll be annoyed if Mashima gets away with not having them age again. Seriously. All right. Well, that was that. Let's move on to Volume 1 of Terraform Mars.
Oh, boy.
Story by Yu Sasuga and art by Kenichi Tachibana. And the basic plot is that you've got all these people from a bunch of different nationalities have been sent in the Bugs 2 to Mars to exterminate the cockroaches that were used to help terraform Mars. But then it turns out that the cockroaches have evolved in the harsh climate into humanoid creatures that hate humans as much as humans hate cockroaches.
That's clearly their final form right there.
Yeah, and they just instinctively, the moment they see a human, they kill it. And so you see that... You see the main character's childhood friend. She ends up dying, like almost.
She's the first one.
Within the first chapter, she just gets her neck snapped, and you're just like, "Well, that was."
Wait, did he like snap her neck, or did he just punch her? Like he punched her. I can't be sure.
I think it's like he just.
No, if he punched her, she would have been dead.
No, if he'd punched her neck, head would have been flying. No, he just kind of grabs it and casually twists, and it's like, ah. And of course, you get the backstory complete with, complete with molestation / rape. Even though it later on shows on that, you know, that didn't happen at the time that we see. But at the same time, you're just like, this seems like something that was ongoing. So, yay! But it does have the good taste to not actually show it. It just kind of uses it as, hey, look, these are characters. Look, this one was. You know, this girl was probably most likely molested by her stepfather. This other
and
one...
And there was another one, was a prostitute.
Yeah, and this other one, this guy, he had a friend who... She ended up getting sent to the city, probably to be a prostitute.
And then she kind of died off.
Off from a disease, probably gotten while being a prostitute. And so it's kind of like, it does the whole, everything is dark and people are being, taken advantage of sexually, etc. and so on. And it kind of, and it really does set the tone for this is dark, but at the same time, it has the, as much as I think that, you know, you don't have to go that far with all the time, but it does manage to, do it in a way that I find a lot more acceptable than most other seinen writers, seinen manga, in that it doesn't actually show it. It doesn't actually... sexualize it in a way, which is weird because in all the character profiles it includes the cup sizes of the girls, and it's especially weird when those character profiles show up in the volume after the girl is dead.
And only, like, one of them doesn't actually say, they say they have a cup, they have a cup size though.
Yeah, but it's like you,
Chinese one.
Yeah, okay, really, let me check that. But yeah, it's like you've got after what's-her-face, like, I and Maria die, you get to see their, you get to see their character profiles, and it's like, this is their cup size, and you're like, wait, seriously? Nanao and Maria, you see, like, hey, they have F cup and G cup, and it's like, why are you saying this? They're dead, you disrespectful bastard!
Yeah!
And so that was really weird, because it made the series feel a lot more juvenile than it actually was, and the Chinese one did have cup size D cup.
Oh,
yeah. It's really weird because it does make it feel like, oh, we are a exploitative fan servicey kind of series, but in this one there is no fan service unless you count the existence of, hey, here are women with moderately tight clothes, and hey, they have breasts, which doesn't really qualify as fan service, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're like, just so weird with how it tries to make the women look, you know, hot and sexy, and then they get killed. I'm like, this is exactly the kind of series I don't want to read. Yeah, why am I reading it?
Yeah, it's like,
because I want to see the cockroaches get destroyed utterly.
Yeah, it is kind of like, could you stop doing that? That's really weird. But at the same time, this is a very good read. I read through, it's a very fast read for one.
Yeah,
there are certain cases that I do feel a weakness of this series is that we don't know any of the characters well enough before they die. I mean, we get a bit of backstory, and with the main character's friends, you know, with her dying so early.
What was the name of the guy from Israel?
What was it? But before we get to that, what I'm saying is the main character, we get to see sort of like, you know, a little bit of his and her backstory. So you do get to feel sad a little bit, but that's sort of after the fact, you know, because we already know she's dead, but so we don't feel as devastated if we'd have known all this stuff before it happened. But yeah, the guy from Israel is God Lee, which that makes no freaking sense. Yeah. One, Lee is not an Israeli name, last I checked. And two, no Israeli would call their kid God, because I'm pretty sure there is a certain, you know, commandment that the Jews follow that says, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord God in vain. Ergo, they're not going to go around saying, this is my son, God. It's like, seriously?
I mean dog. I meant dog.
Yeah. That was weird, but
yeah.
He
was the first guy that died. I was like, wow, like, oh my god, look, this he's the only one with actual fighting experience. And I'm like, yeah, that didn't die. Like, yeah, he died.
Yeah, and he has a really awesome ability. He's like, it turns out that you've got they all have like, you know, they've been fused with bugs, and he's the
on the bug procedure.
Yeah, and he's fused with the Bombardier Beetle, which basically means he shoots these chemicals that turn into a flamethrower blast, more or less.
And
then you have all the other ones. They kind of like a lot of the early ones where they, you know, they use their powers, but it turns out it's not enough. But you've got the you find out the only ones that really stand much of a chance against the cockroaches are the captain, who turns into an ant. Yes. Except in a much more badass way than Ant-Man.
He just needs the strength, though, the thing.
Yeah, in that he's the let's see, what was it? The bullet ant. And because it's like one of the most dangerous insects around, and so he's way more dangerous than a cockroach. And you find out that the Thai guy is, you know, he's a locust, and Shokichi, the main character, who is bee.
Asian giant hornet.
Yeah, and now here's what doesn't make sense, is that there's some cases where things are a little confusing, because it, you know, mentions like, hey, wait a minute, I chose insects with strong bodies, then why is there a mosquito here? And then the mosquito possesses neither outstanding strength nor strategically advantageous characteristics, but it has killed the greatest number of human beings. They are extremely fierce insects. And then you focus on the two guys, you know, the two, you know, the Japanese and the Thai, and it also mentions, hey, watch out for the Asians. And so the way it's put together makes it seem like the Asians are dangerous because they are mosquitoes, and mosquitoes are very fierce.
What?
That's what it seems like. That's what it comes across like when you're reading it.
The thing is, when I was reading, I actually tried to look up if the Asian giant hornet was actually one of the most dangerous things. It kind of was, but no matter what, I looked up, mosquitoes still the number one most dangerous creature on the freaking planet.
Well, yeah, but and then here in the following chapter, what doesn't make sense was like, be careful after the insectifies, stay back. They don't have any special powers, but they're extremely fierce, which doesn't make any sense, because I would consider very strong legs and wings later on to be a special power, and he has stingers with venom to be a special power. It's a little confusing and doesn't.
Wait, what's the Japanese name of the giant of the Asian giant hornet?
Yeah.
Is this Suzumi Bachi? I wonder.
I was a little disappointed when the Chinese girl died, because I was kind of thinking.
I know. I hate that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, cool would be. I'd like, you know, it's like, what would I want? What kind of insect would I want to be? It's like, I don't know, praying mantis. It's like, oh look, she's a praying mantis. Oh look, she's dead.
Dang it. hate that.
But yeah, and
Also, yeah, it's called Suzume Bachi. For all who remember from Bleach.
Oh yeah, that. Yeah, and also we find out that you got the, you know, it turns out that the Japanese doctor wants to bring back one of the eggs. So he's got the, like, you know, one of the Japanese guys who's a mosquito that can come back to life at any time, and got what's her face, a South African girl that is
Victoria Wood.
Yeah, enslaves cockroaches. But then it turns out that the egg hatches and they crash, and it's new types of cockroaches that are immune to their abilities, more or less.
Bastards.
And that's, yeah, and then you sort of like continue with a fight, and they, you know, and it's kind of like, it does end with almost everyone being dead, and the only two guys surviving are the two Japanese guys.
How coincidence.
What a coincidence. And they come back, and then that kind of ends. It's a very, and then it has sort of like in, you know, some after the chapter things with like the Japanese gods and talking about how one of them created food from her mouth and her buttocks. And I'm like, okay, that's weird.
It's Japan. It's mythology. It's just, I didn't even know.
And then you also have that weird chapter where it's like on Earth is this girl and her mom, and it's like, hey, there's a cockroach in the kitchen, and the mom opens the door, and it's one of the Martian cockroaches. And
you're like, it's one of those horror stories. It's like, oh.
It's like, is this actually happening, or is this just sort of a, hey, look, let's do a little fun thing?
How did it get there is the question.
Yeah, so I guess I hope Volume 2 will explain what the hell is going on there. But I have to say, this was, even though it's a Everyone Dies series, it very early on makes it very clear that you should not get attached to anyone.
Mm-hmm. This is not like Attack on Titan. I repeat, it's not like Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan, we know that at least the three main characters will stay alive until a certain point of one of those secret sacrifices. This one, we only got lucky that only two out of the 15 survived.
Well, yeah, but not only that, it does have a little bit, a lot of them don't get development until after they're dead. Shokichi and the other Japanese guy were the only ones that got development, while they were still alive. So you can still sort of assume that means, hey, they're going to be okay, you know, because that is a bit of a pattern that I noticed. And so it does, so it's trying to be, oh, hey, feel sad for these people that are dying because I gave you their backstory.
I feel sad because most they were dead. Women. All of them were women.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, look, it doesn't work as well because I didn't know them when they died, and learning who they were after they're dead doesn't have the same impact. So hopefully in the future there will be it will work a lot harder to make me care about the characters, because none of these characters I felt like I needed to care about, you know, because they all, the characters weren't there for me to care about them. They were there to show how dangerous and brutal cockroaches were.
They can fly.
Yeah, and yes, they can. And therefore, what it was trying to do was just sort of set up the idea that, hey, in the future, more people will be at risk from these guys, and you know for a fact that they can just kill whoever they want. So there is that. It was very much a setup volume, but I think for...
Yeah, it is a setup volume. There's a lot of intrigue behind it. Like, there's this part where that one old guy was saying, wait a second, that's not supposed to happen with the cockroaches. Like, someone must have set this up. And I'm like, man, 500 years ago, wow, something. Douchebag said 500 years ago. He's already dead. How we even find that person now?
And there's also that whole concept of that missing planet, and I guess aliens from that planet, and the fact that the moss that they had planted on Mars has been replaced by a new type of moss. And it's a very good standalone kind of volume where you can read this and then feel satisfied and not have to read anything else. Of course, this series continues, but it is a very good one where it gives you a satisfying story overall. In one
it gives
go.
You questions. If you still, but like you said, it has a volume where you just stop and go, okay.
Yeah.
I could move on from here, or I could read on and see what the heck's going on here.
Precisely. Yeah, and this is definitely one of those volumes that it works best because it gives you the satisfaction of the full story. And then it's like there's more to come still. So that I find enjoyable overall.
Yeah, it is enjoyable. It's also not revolting, it makes me very upset because
I didn't have that same reaction.
Terrifying at the same time, but also upset because it's like, you know, cockroaches. Yes, it's true. We do have an innate hatred for them that we see. We want to smash them, squish them, kill them, do whatever.
Yeah.
And there was this one panel where one of the women got split, and then they showed a picture of a cockroach that spit. Like, dang, talk about karma.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with this is that it is very much. Yeah. It's a little too violent.
They learn way too easily. It kind of upsets me. That's the reason why. I mean, yes, we learn, but we don't learn that well. I mean,
well,
not that well, but it's like, damn, like they really, really learn to like freaking kill. You know? Imagine that these cockroaches were not just cockroaches. People that knew how to like act like human beings in a way, except the talking part. Imagine they were zombie cockroaches. You can't even kill these guys in the first place. How are you going to kill a zombie giant cockroach person?
Yeah, the thing is I find this series is a little too violent in that it makes it too obvious that, hey, everyone's going to die, you know? But I will say I love the designs of the cockroaches. Somehow they manage to look somewhat like cockroaches while at the same time being something completely different. And also just those...
I should get my mom to
those
read
kind
it.
Of like, you know, those faces, those almost always expressionless faces are just... so creepy, so that when you see right at the end with that extra little chapter where it just ends with that that cockroach right up in her face, and you're just like, ugh. And also that one with the, you know, when they, let's see, it was...
when they made that really creepy, creepy face?
Yeah, it's like, you know, right after she, you know, the what's-her-face used her, used her venom on it, and it just makes that face, and you're like, ah, oh, geez, it changed.
Oh, yeah, Victoria, yeah. Man.
And it is awful. But, yeah. So, overall, I really like this. It's a...
still like it.
Yeah, I definitely like it. It was enjoyable. I read all the way through. I read it at a good pace.
I just enjoyed it.
It was quite enjoyable, I found.
Or to the anime. The anime's going to promote this for sure, as far as I know.
Yeah, definitely. And I do feel that, I do think that as, and even the backstories with things that I don't like in them still work because they're treated in a respectful way and not meant to be, you know, it's not meant to be glorified or, you know, sexualized in any way. It's not, you know, it's that when you've got moments where it's like, oh, look, this person got raped, and here, let's show it in graphic detail. Look at the way her breasts move and the way she's trying to push them off. Oh, isn't that so hot? That pisses me off when authors do that. And I'm just like, you are a disgusting piece of shit. Don't do that again. But nonetheless, I do like the way this does it because it treats it like, here, this is an adult story with adult themes, and, you know, this is how awful the world is without being all, okay, you know, hey, buddy, you know, this is really awful thing that's happening to this girl, you know. You want to jack off to it? It's okay. Nobody will judge you. You know, that's how I feel whenever I read any of O'Great's crap. It's just like, it feels like he's just standing there right next to you in this skeezy voice.
Don't read Gantz either.
Yeah, it's that one as well. It's like, hey, you know, this is a really traumatic experience for this character, but you know what? I drew it for you. You know, if you want to jack off, you know, nobody will
okay, it's enough. Stop it. I get it. Enough. Stop it.
Okay, you're good. I want people to understand why I hate that.
You're creeping the readers out. You creep them more than I ever did.
They need to, they need to be creeped out, because anyone that likes those shitty series needs to know that there's a reason why those are not okay.
Yes.
And so, anyway, this series does not do that, so that's nice. It takes serious topic matter and deals with it in a way that is not, you know, completely awful. So, I appreciate that.
The cockroaches hate you, Manny, so much. Nothing like that will ever happen. I'm quite sure of it. So if anything, they're going to get killed very easily.
They don't have genitals.
They don't.
So that's not going to happen. We're not.
Yeah, there's that one part of that woman try to kick
this,
it.
Yeah, this isn't going to be freezing. So.
I hate freezing.
Yes, it's awful. Anyway, yeah, especially I decided, let's see if I can remember if this series was as bad as I remember. So I skimmed the latest chapter. I was like, it is. Wow. Well, what? To live up to my expectations. Yeah. Anyway. I think that's that. That's the manga reviews for the week. Let's go ahead and take a quick break and move on to the manga commentaries.
Okay.
It's time for the manga commentary for Weekly Shonen Jump, issue 34 for 2014 on the 21st of July. Why's my audio not louder? There we go. All right. Well, this week we've got a couple of chapters to talk about, starting with World Trigger, chapter 68, Aftocrator Part 2, where Osamu, with the help of Chika, manages to destroy a couple other of the rabbits. But then shit gets real when, what's his face, the leader of the humanoid neighbors.
I don't even know his name.
Yeah. He shows up, and it turns out he uses Trion that takes the shape of animals, and if they hit you, you turn into a Trion cube.
It's almost like Leon from Fairy Tail, except not ice, and it will cubify you.
A little bit, yeah. And it can do it for two weapons as well. If you try to block, it will, you know, get those. And also, you know, he can use birds, fish, salamanders, you know, just pretty much...
Salamanders.
Yeah, little lizards or whatnot. He can pretty much use his Trion attack, and the advantage of this is they behave like actual animals, so it's hard to predict them. Mm. And, yeah, and you end up, man, we end the chapter with Chika ends up being hit by the, by a bunch of the attack, of his attacks, and she starts to cubify.
Oh, no, I'm cubifying. Do I need a thing now?
Maybe.
If we went to the anime, gets there, and then people say, oh my god, people are cubifying.
Yeah, hopefully. That would be kind of funny. But, yeah, so this was a good chapter. Actually, a really good chapter. I think I liked last week's a little bit better. But with just because we get to see Osamu being a badass. But in this one, it still focuses on Osamu and seeing the how powerful the villain is. And seeing an actually really creative, you know, attack. Because a lot of the previous abilities seem a little so-so. At times, but this one's actually a lot of fun, where his attacks take the form of animals. And so, and that's all real nice and creative and everything.
You can't predict an animal's move at all. Yeah. Well, you could at some point, you could predict their patterns, but
yeah,
not after like one battle.
Yeah, no kidding. Yep, and alright, let's move on to One Piece Chapter 753, Battle.
And that's quite a title, although that's quite a title.
Yeah, and to start off with, we have The Solitary Journey of Jinbei, First Son of the Sea, Volume 3. Looks like trouble for the sea dog officer, sea animal sheriff. And he's, Jinbei's having the sea dog cop is telling him about how the cat's lost. So, hey, you should probably help the cat. And it's just such a weird, weird scene, you know? It's just, hey, look, here's a dog, except it's a fish, and it's a police officer.
Well, it isn't totally weird, considering all the other stuff we've seen with the side chapter cover thing.
Well, yeah. But still, this is just one of those moments where I just sit back and think, this is a really bizarre series. It's like I've gotten so used to a lot of the crazy
Monkey's Bizarre Adventure. Wait. No. No.
Lulu's Bizarre Adventure? No.
Saru? Oh, yeah, I get Lulu.
Yeah. But anyway, we get into the actual chapter, and it turns out that, oh, hey, no, we're not getting the flashback like a lot of people thought we would after last chapter. And...
Wait, we were supposed to get a flashback?
Well, it was kind of setting... No, well, not really. It's more like it was... It seemed like it was moving into a flashback, you know, ending the chapter with a glimpse of Law in the past.
Oh, I totally feel about that.
Yeah, but still, we end up with Bellamy, who says... who's asking Doflamingo, hey, what the heck? Did you try to kill me? And Doflamingo's all, oh, look, you know, we're not, you know... You always wanted to be a pirate, but no, I don't care what I am, as long as it allows to tear down the world around me. And so he just wants to, you know, cause chaos and anarchy, so it's kind of appropriate. Yeah, it's kind of appropriate that his code name is Joker.
Hmm.
And so...
Huh, wow, well, you know, yep. We need a Batman here, man. Wait, maybe Luffy's money, man.
Yeah, Luffy is Batman.
Nah. That's silly. But, Bellamy's bounty, like, dang. Did we see it before?
Probably, I just don't remember.
No, I think it's the first time we've seen it, because when he was a grad, we didn't really see it, but this time we get to see it. Hmm.
I don't recall, honestly.
I don't recall either, but I think it's the first time we've seen it.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent bounty.
Though it is, 50 back then?
Yeah, though it is kind of funny how Bellamy has skipped all the leg days. I mean, really, those are some skinny legs for someone with such a huge torso.
Oh, yeah, I didn't.
But yeah, all right, let's move on, and let's see, we got the next bit. We've got Suleiman the Beheader fighting...
Dellinger,
yes.
Sure.
Yeah, I totally remember that. Yeah, fighting Dellinger, and it looks like Dellinger's hat is actually a weapon because he totally uses it to headbutt and stab Suleiman.
I'm not surprised. I mean, it has horn for a reason.
Well, yeah, but normally you see horns just as a fashion statement.
Well, you've never played Star Ocean 3 then.
Nope. No, I did not. And it's pretty messed up because you see the horns go all the way through him. So it's like, dude's in trouble. But yeah, and then you've got the family officers who are wreaking havoc among the gladiators. And let's see, we've also got some of the regular civilians that are stopping the other civilians from trying to kill everyone. And they decide, hey, look, we know where King Riku is. Let's go get him, because that's the only person that we can, you know, take down and stop this madness. And then we go to the Smile Factory, where all the Tontadas are just saying, hey, wait a minute. What's going on here? It's like, is everyone safe? And then some of the other Tontadas, the B Squad, the Pink Bees, end up...
Yeah, B Squad.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they end up using the bees to spell a message on the outside saying, unlock it from the inside. And it's like, we've been fooled. And it's like, fight. And then you've got this stupid stupid underling who's all like, oh. It's like, yeah, I'm going to beat some sense into you. And one of the Tontadas is like, shut up, you third-rate chump. And so,
he didn't even talk like that with that kind of weird accent, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's what happens when they get serious. Yeah. And let's see. From there, we move on. We've got Cavendish carrying Luffy and Law, which, if you notice, he is there.
Yeah.
And Kuros.
Which, let me hitch the ride.
Yeah. And he's like, dude, seriously, you have any idea how tiring it is to jump everywhere? And... Yeah, and of course, Cavendish shows out that he is very, Cavendish turns out that he is a little bit ableist. Sad to say, because he tells the guy with one leg to get off his horse. Oh, Cavendish, and here we thought
he's the weighing
ghost
it down.
Loved you. Well, yes, but still, he's like, hey, you dude with the one leg who can't move very well, get off.
That's... Well, it is his horse, you know? You don't get on people's horses like...
Oh, come on, Mo. You know that doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
If people label you as some kind of, like, if people label you as an ableist or as a racist, it doesn't the circumstances don't matter.
Oh,
all that matters is the label. No, but seriously, that is kind of awful of him to say, hey, dude, that only has one leg. Off.
Don't forget, he's a bit of a narcissist.
Well, yes, of course, but...
The horse is too beautiful for you to ride on, get off.
It does kind of remind me of a scene from, what was it, The Light Fantastic, the second Terry Pratchett novel, where the main characters, the three main characters in that book, it's pretty much the end of the world. They come across these very sort of weird horses at a bar, but they're in a hurry to get to stop the end of the world, so they take three of the horses, and then later on you find out that those were the horses of war, pestilence, and famine. And so you get a scene with them and Death arguing about how they want to all ride on the same horse, and Death doesn't want them to. And he's basically saying, "It's like, it's not a matter of whether my horse can or can't carry you. My horse has carried... kings, my horse has carried armies. Yea, in due time, my horse carries all men, but he will not carry you three." It's like, why not? It's like, well, just think of what it would look like. Oh, yeah, the alternative totally looks better. The one rider and the three pedestrians of the apocalypse. That's kind of what that reminds me of right here. Seriously, people, read Terry Pratchett. He's great. But yeah, so, of course, Kuros is saying, hey, I need to get to, you know, there's one specific person that I need to get to among the family officers. Darn you, Steve Tyler. Killed my wife.
How could you?
Yeah, and let's see. And, of course, you get the nice two-page spread of all the gladiators working together. And, of course, you've got Dagama is like, hey, this is a battle. I'm a tactician. So do what I say. And, yeah, and, of course, the fight continues, and Cavendish is carrying Luffy and the other two up past all the, you know, all the other family, Don Quixote, Doflamingo family soldiers. And that's where the chapter ends. So it was quite an excellent chapter.
Yeah, I'm predicting that Kuros will fight the Amante. Maybe Rebecca would join in, too, at some point.
Perhaps. Yeah, perhaps.
And maybe Riku, too. Who knows? Maybe the entire family. I don't know.
I think it might be. Oda likes one-on-one fights quite a lot. Yeah. So, yeah, I think. But I do think that. Pardon me. That Diamante is definitely one of the ones that is going to be fighting Kuros. But, yeah, so it was a good chapter. I mean, I really liked it. As much as I was kind of thinking, oh, wait, why not a flashback? I wasn't that invested in getting a flashback, so I was kind of okay.
I was like, wait, what flashback? I totally forgot. But, you know, he takes a week off. I'm like, wait, what happened again?
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah.
I swear, but it seems like every time he takes a week off, he ends the chapter before his week off in a way that makes it seem like he's, like, you know, that the next chapter is going to be a flashback. And so this entire arc for the past couple months, people have been like, oh, flashback? Oh, flashback? No. I have been given literary blue balls. Which could also, in a way, be applied to a manga that keeps promising fan service but never delivers, which...
What's that?
Anyway, let's move on to Nisekoi chapter 131.
Which was that? Oh, fine.
Yeah. I'm not saying that any manga does that, but I'm imagining what if.
Oh.
And so, you know, because honestly, I don't think most manga artists have that kind of self-control. But anyway, Nisekoi chapter 131, plot.
Not much plot in this one.
Not really, no, but it's mostly, hey, look, we have a, you know, we have a haunted house, Haru, that's it.
Haru.
Is going to go get, Ichijo and, Onodera to join, to, go through and be all scared and have Onodera grabbing all over Ichijo to, in fright, and... I also have to say that her friend, what's her face?
Fu.
Makes a pretty adorable vampire. Yep. I don't know why. It's just something about them making the fangs these little tiny fangs instead of these long teeth that would actually manage to, you know, help someone suck blood. But
a hamster vampire.
Yeah, it is quite an adorable design. And then, of course, you find out Chitoge's and the others are doing a cosplay cafe, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And one moment. Ah. Stupid DeviantArt. Leave it open and stupid music starts playing. I don't know if anyone heard that, but anyway.
I heard nothing. Don't worry.
Okay, good. But, yeah, nonetheless, it's like, leave DeviantArt open and it starts playing video ads. Seriously, screw websites that do video ads. Unless they're actually a video website. You guys are the worst.
Anyway, so about those cosplays, the funny thing was that Shu has Shu's initial designs were more indecent.
Yeah.
And it was thanks to Ruri that they weren't. And then the girl's like, thank you, Ruri.
Yep. Although I have to say, they are some pretty nice designs. I mean, Chitoge as Alice from Alice in Wonderland is perfect. Tsugumi as a ninja, Akunoichi, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Raku as a
samurai.
Yeah, looking all samurai is.
Samurai Kunuichi.
Yeah, pretty decent design. I do like the scene where it's like, You know, I drew lots, but I think I got pretty lucky, right? You like this kind of thing, don't you, Haru? And Haru was like, heck no. Just looking away like that. That's funny. And Shu as a knight, which I was like, dude, he's the lucky one.
That was just perfect.
And then, of course, Ruri as a stereotypical Viking, complete with the
best costume ever.
Yeah, with her own Mjolnir.
When I saw that, I thought, Lucy, is that you?
Yeah, it does look a lot. That is a pretty excellent costume. But yeah, and then, of course, Tajimana gets the unflattering bunny costume.
Was it a bunny or a dog? I can't recall.
It's a bunny. Ears are long. But yeah, which is kind of cute in its own way. And then Onodera has a gothic Lolita outfit. Not really from anything, but it's just this, yeah, very pretty dress, basically.
Gothic Lolita outfit.
Yep. And of course, Ichijo, Raku and Haru think it's absolutely fantastic. And so Haru gets them to go with her to the haunted house. And it turns out that she uses konnyaku jelly to terrify Onodera.
I don't get what's terrifying about it, but I guess some people
have strange fear. Well, I have to say.
Oh yeah, I remember konnyaku jelly when Raku was he made something, and then it's like one of those earlier chapters.
Right. Yeah. Well, I do have to say that the thought of a vegetable flavored jelly sounds pretty terrifying. Let's be honest here.
Vegetable flavored jelly.
Yeah, so I can understand her reaction, but it's basically all the scary things are connected to have that jelly on them, and she is absolutely terrified. And then she ends up getting hurt. Raku goes to get a Band-Aid, and we kind of end the chapter with Haru being all, oh, come on, it's like, this isn't good. I haven't let go at all. I really like the way she's been using her. Granted, her early chapters were annoying, but I like how once he decided, okay, she's in love with Raku as well, he actually has her, you know, try her best to, you know, ignore it.
Mm.
And so, and then, of course, we end up with a beauty contest where that Fu signs Haru up for. And yeah, it's pretty...
Oh, she just can't figure it out. Or maybe she knows, but she's like, nah.
She knows what Haru is trying to do, and she is actively sabotaging her in Haru's favor. So, next week we'll get all the girls in pretty outfits, so yay, I think.
Maybe. Just wait. We all know we're going to read it for the swimsuit.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be like, swimsuits. Man, that's just...
Don't be a poiv.
That's just... They're in high school, you morons.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, let's see. It was a good chapter. I quite liked it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yep, let's talk about Bleach, chapter 589, The Shooting Star Project, The Old and New Trust. And yeah, so basically they're going to use a cannon similar to Kukaku's cannon.
Isn't it Kukaku's cannon that actually moved in there?
No, it's not the same one. They basically made a new one, but you know, it's not an exact copy, so they can't really replicate it properly.
Oh.
Yeah, and then of course we get a sort of like a little bit of an intermission where it turns out that apparently Chad ships Ichihime because he brings Ichigo's attention to Orihime's outfit. And it's like, so, what do you think? Except I'm not sure whether it's a, what do you think of her outfit? Isn't this scandalous? Or, hey, buddy, what'd you think? Pretty hot, huh? Or what it's trying to be, but...
Chad the wingman.
Yeah. It is pretty hilarious, the reaction where they both immediately get embarrassed. And Ichigo's like, I do kind of think she's revealing too much, but... So there's a butt in there, but what is
there's
that
a butt?
Also, there's a butt attached to her, and it is a fine butt.
Yeah.
I mean, what? And, yeah, Orihime freaks out. She's like, oh, he thinks I'm some kind of sick exhibitionist. And she's like, it's not what you think. I'm not wearing it because I'm a pervert. It's like, Mr. Urahara is a liar. It's like, You get a Chad thinks back. He's like, I think Kurosaki would love to see you in this. And he's like, all right, I'll wear it.
How fast.
And that's pretty hilarious. So I do have to say there are some people on forums online that are saying, oh, I hate her now because she's in the middle of a war and all she can think about is putting on skimpy clothes for Ichigo. And I was like, will you shut the fuck up, you immature man-child? That is my official response to pretty much any time manga fans start to bitch about stuff. Shut the fuck up, you immature man-child. I personally think this is absolutely freaking hilarious.
Yep.
And, of course, Urahara's like, hey, be careful. It's designed so that when you close the middle, they pop out from either side. And I'm just... This is kind of surprisingly pervy for a chapter, an arc that's been pretty serious for the past little couple months. And then you get a weird panel where Yorichi shows up again, and I don't know what
there
she's
is
doing.
Your literal image of what we all call the... No, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, don't you dare. But, yeah, it Yorichi sticks her hand between Orihime's cleavage, and before
Why?
You ask, yes, that has been photoshopped.
Many
I'm
times.
Pretty sure you've already seen it.
I've already seen on DeviantArt. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. DeviantArt is weird, but yeah. And then Yorichi shows up, and speaking of weird fan service, she's wearing a dress that... the screen tone is almost very similar to the color of the screen tone used for her skin. So you're looking at that
the whole time.
Yeah, you're looking at that and it's like, is she naked? What?
So because there's a panel where she opens her cloak and I was looking at the way she's naked. No, she's not.
Before you ask, yes, that has also been photoshopped. But nonetheless, Yorichi shows up. And she chews Ichigo out. It's like, you kind of think she's revealing too much, you moron. You think a girl enjoys wearing that, she's wearing it because some perv tricked her into it. And it's like, couldn't you have simply said you look good in it and that you'd sleep with her, you little punk? And Orihime is like, stop it, please. And so, yeah.
Oh, these three.
Yeah, so it turns out that apparently Chad and Yorichi ship Ichihime, which... I don't know, this is kind of a weird scene because it's like on the one hand fans are like, oh, that's proof that Kubo wants those two to end together, but then all the other people are like, no, but he wants Ichigo and Rukia to end up together, etc. And so, looking back on the series, I have to say it's been kind of interesting. I don't recall any major interaction between Rukia and Ichigo. It's kind of gotten to the point where I don't even think about Rukia anymore, nor do I really care. So I wonder if that's his intention. Like he's
well, in a sense, if we recall how Soul Society arc ended,
yeah.
They parted ways.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm wondering if Kubo is trying to, you know, sort of like push those two to the side so that he can end the series the way he wants, I assume.
Well, it is ending. There's no way to continue it.
Yeah, so I am kind of curious what exactly, you know, whether he's doing that, having them not interact for... months or years deliberately or what's going on, but it'll be interesting to see. And of course one must, no matter how which way it ends, one must avoid the forums online because yish.
I like to look at those forums because I always like to see people's interpretation, even if it's mostly 90% hate.
Crazy people. But yeah.
I know, I'm crazy. I'm
anyway.
But
yeah.
All I can say is that, you know, Kubo doing this is kind of like almost a double-edged sword because He's probably get the ending he wants. At the same time, his new series, some people will be unhappy about it. And then me, I'm not reading this guy's series. I'm like, wow, really?
Well, there's going to be a lot of people like that for a variety of reasons. I think.
Yes.
I think people being upset at how he ends the shipping of his series is not the biggest of his concerns. But nonetheless, let's move on. And we also find out that basically Yorichi was gathering some energy that they can use to shoot the cannon. And then we cut out to the fight with Ikkaku,
Yumichika,
and
Giselle,
and Zombie Bambietta, and what's his face?
GG Giselle, I don't know what his name was. The trap. I'll call him the trap from now on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like basically, yeah, he says that, you know, if Quincy's, you know, they have to die before I turn them into zombies. And he's like, you should have seen her face, and really gross, perverted stuff, and I'm not going to repeat it. But
that is a man, by the way.
Yes, that's why. Yumi Chika. Yeah, that's why Yumi Chika is like, you mean things got hard for you, you sick freak. I'm like, what is wrong with a perversion in this chapter?
Well, at least Kubo finally, you know,
letting go.
No.
No, whatever. Yeah, but it is so. Yeah, it is confirmed. Bambietta is dead. She got finished off and ergo became a zombie, which, eh, okay.
Still tap it.
But yeah, oh, Mo, you sick freak. But yeah, and then we've got Kuritsuchi shows up and he's all, it's like, now that is, you turn the enemy into a zombie. Well, now that is quite interesting. And he's still wearing his bright outfit. And so, all right, well, it was a fun chapter. I mean, the perverted aspects were a little, what the frick? But still, I enjoyed the silly antics, and I think people that get pissed about that are complete morons, frankly, because
that's what I love about Bleach most. That's what I love most about Bleach anyway.
Yeah, and this is one of the and honestly, I mean, okay, fair enough. I get it that there are people that prefer the fighting, but the fighting has gotten so boring. And the most times that I was most entertained by Bleach was when they were doing the silly antics and character moments. So glad that we were able to get at least something of that. But yeah, and well, anyway, let's move on to Naruto chapter 685. All that I've got.
Wait, did we get to mention Mayuri appeared at the very end?
Yes, I mentioned that.
Okay, good. He's going to kick some butt there.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, Naruto, we show how they got in there and how Naruto's clone went out. And then Sakura and Obito are using, you know, breaking through to try to find out where Sasuke is. And the fight continues. And they eventually manage to break through to where Sasuke is. But they're running out of energy. And Sasuke uses his bullshit no jutsu to get through even after the portal closes, because he can shift himself between spaces, though only over finite distance, because of course he fucking can. Yeah, so the only... I don't know, it's just one of those chapters that the majority of the chapter was so-so, in some cases pretty okay, with Sakura actually doing something. Even though it's not much, but at the same time, you get to end the chapter with Sasuke being all, oh, hey, yeah, I am a completely broken character, so that's why I was able to get through this fake moment of suspense. And, I don't know.
I have no comment to say about this. I'm already good with the Bleach. I'm not going to say anything about this.
Yeah, Naruto, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that shippers that like Sasuke and Sakura will enjoy that last, you know, that last page where he steadies her before she collapses, which I'd admit, if I didn't think this was complete horse shit, I might enjoy. But
it's quite fine, let's like it.
Yeah, quite frankly, it's really hard to enjoy something that started off reminding me of abusive relationships.
And Oh, yeah.
Ergo,
that's why I have no comment.
Ship what you want, but at the same time, just think about it. Really think about it. Because, well, I'll be fair. I just think Sasuke is the worst character ever, and I just wish he wasn't involved in this series. It would make it significantly better if he were someone else, or if his role in the story was filled by nobody! Because everything he does is complete horse shit. So, moving on to Hunter x Hunter, chapter 347...
Inauguration. I have no idea what happened. This is the first time in, well, it's probably the first time I'm like, I have no idea what the heck's going on.
It's basically Ging showing off his abilities and then not, you know, that he's copied from other people. And then, you know, revealing at the end that, oh, hey, these guys, it was just all a ploy to see, you know, just to sort of test him. And then other than that, there's more talking.
Well, in a sense, what he kind of did wrong was he mentioned money. You never mention money around mercenaries. They'll start going AWOL and start trying to kill over money.
Exactly. That is.
And they won't listen because they want money. That's it.
Yeah, which was a nice little, you know, addition as to why they were all nervous. Because, like, hey, we need to be able to trust each other. So some jackass just showing up and saying, oh, hey, I can pay you more, was very nerve-wracking. So, but nonetheless, this really is a series. I need to catch up on this because I have no idea what's going on, and there's a lot of reading to do for a series that just doesn't, you know, that I am not understanding. So,
well, I think look on the good side. It's only about 340 something chapters to go through.
I'll get there eventually.
I mean, compared to One Piece and Naruto and Bleach and Torque. No, Torque was 200. And Detective Conan and Hajime no Ippo. Oh, geez.
Yeah. Anyway, true. Yeah, since we don't really read this series, let's move on to Toriko. Gourmet 285 versus Heracles, where we basically get to see the others show off their abilities. And I really like how Shimabukuro shows that Brunch and and Zebra work well together. You know, by having Brunch use his electricity to magnetize himself and draw the meteors there. And then Zebra uses his voice to shoot a flamethrower, basically. Huh. But it's pretty awesome. And you've got, you've got Sunny and what's the other guy's name? Nosh, yes. Oh. Where turns out the dude can use his ability to deflect the laser, but then it only lasts for a couple seconds, and it takes like 2 minutes before he can move again. He's like,
he's on a 2 minute cooldown.
He's like, forget it, not worth it. It's like some of the shouts in Skyrim where it takes how long to cool down, you know, forget this.
A minute. No, I'm not gonna bother.
Yep. And that is why I installed the mod that took away the cooldowns.
I just do what I can.
Yeah, and also turned me into the biggest cheater because I found that even the most fearsome enemy is completely worthless when you're constantly shouting him into the wall to the point where he's almost in danger of leaving the map. It was quite hilarious doing that.
Just help it, please.
Yeah, but nonetheless, let's see. And then we've got Coco, who is... And the
Dinner.
Other guy... The what?
Dinner.
Oh, yeah. They have...
That poison umbrella.
Yeah, poison umbrella and a flower. And it turns out that some of the poison is actually hail that can punch through anything. And so that's problematic. And then you've got... Yeah. Komatsu and... Mappy that are driving along real fast. Mm-hmm. Then Toriko's trying to fight the Heracles, and they're all, facing off, and he's like, here I come! And then the Heracles just snorts at him, just snorts air out of his nostrils. And you see this panel, this really well-done panel of, like, Toriko sort of being hit by it and just freezing, and then you see how, in a panel, half of his vision disappears. And then you see that he's kind of lost basically half of his upper torso and head.
He lost a third of him.
Yeah, and then he collapses. And at first you're like, oh, it's going to be another one of those, oh, hey, look, he used intimidation, on him and everything. Because, you know, that sometimes happens. But,
No, it wasn't.
He's messed up. He's dead. Or at least he's...
I'm a Heracles like, screw your genjutsu, I'm just gonna freaking snore at you. it was just pretty surprising. It's like, whoa, so is he, how's he gonna recover? Okay, first he lost his arm one time, then he lost the leg? Did he ever lose his leg?
I think so, yeah. But I think this time, though, this is the most serious injury he's sustained, because he's missing half his head now.
So, yep, that's his brain.
I am quite curious to see how he could survive this. So, we'll have to see.
But wasn't his heart? His heart's on the left side, thank goodness.
True. But, yeah, still, I mean, you lose half of your head, you're dead from that trauma.
Wait, if he lost about half his brain, with part of half his brain probably forgets some of the things that he made from, like, say, the wedding.
I highly doubt it. Mo, he's missing half his head. He's dead.
Oh, yeah, he's dead.
I don't think we need to worry about him forgetting
Would air even work, though?
Well, it's probably going to be what happens is Komatsu gets the food and gives it to him and it revives him or something. I don't know.
Maybe the reviver finds him.
Yeah, I am curious to see how he manages to come back from this one. But, yep, let's see. Let's move on to, skip Yu-Gi-Oh! Zeo, and let's do, okay, I guess the last one we have is One Punch Man, which is basically the last chapter with some minor changes, but then also adding in the fact that Saitama actually manages to defeat Boros.
Manages? He beats him!
Yep. And does it pretty well, and the power sphere breaks, and there's really cool pictures and everything, and Boros is pretty much down.
And then he's like clearly destroyed.
Yeah, and something about, and Saitama ends up by saying something, saying you were too strong, and it's kind of a weird ending, but hopefully after this we are able to, hopefully after this we are able to get through to something that is, a little more funny. Not so, look at how serious we are, but we'll have to see.
I won't say anything. Just keep reading.
I will. Of course I will. I haven't been enjoying it as much recently, which is an absolute shame, because I love the series early on. But
the art was great, but when it comes to, some of the stuff, I kind of get tired of having to read the same part over and over.
Yeah, that is kind of weird how they've been redoing it, and it's like, you don't even bother trying to find what the changes are unless it's obvious. So, yeah, not the greatest chapter. I mean, it was cool and everything, but it's kind of lacking in what made it entertaining, which was the comedy. So I guess we'll kind of have to see as we go along. But all right, for now, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll move on to the rest of the chapters and wrap things up. It's time for Assassination Classroom Chapter 93, where we continue the battle to knock down the pole.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically looks like it is not going well for Class E, except they managed to get there. After a moment of that, they managed to get the guys that were knocked out earlier, who snuck around the outside and came into the came around the back, and then everyone jumps on the pole.
Like, you thought we were cannon fodder, not.
Yeah, I would have thought that it's against the rules to go around, the back, but they managed to get up top. Force on the other guys, and the more they try to pull them off, the more it starts. The more the pole starts shaking.
Probably was against the rules, but since Class A's Asano's initial goal was to really crush Class E, he didn't care if they broke the rule as long as they didn't break all the rules.
Yeah. And also, and it turns out he's actually a really good martial artist, so he starts knocking. He gets on top and starts kicking at people and knocking them down.
I was hoping he wasn't, but then I was like, that makes him more enjoyable to actually watch when he gets crushed.
Yeah, so he is actually capable, but let's see, they actually, and then, Isogai comes in, and come on, load page.
But then it makes sense, because then how would we have known those four guys then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it looks like, and so everyone's there, and they're basically, and then you've got the two guys left that are basically faking it, saying it's leverage that we're able to hold these guys down. But they're actually like, you could take our pole down, but Asano wanted to crush us. And what you're doing wouldn't crush us. So, yes. It's kind of an interesting reasoning, but yeah, it was an okay chapter. It didn't really have anything that really stood out as much, except for right at the end when you find that everyone's there and they only have two left guarding the pole. So, yeah, but let's move on to chapter 93, because we're done with being behind. We're going to, you know, get caught up.
You mean 94? We're going to 94 now.
93. Oh, 93? Right, 94, sorry.
94.
Sorry, there we go, yeah. There we go, now we go. All right, so
Yeah,
so not chapter 94, and what happens in this chapter? It's basically the end. They managed, they get Itona in on it, and he manages to knock the, come on, load. There we go. He jumps and manages to knock down the pole. So it's Class E's victory. Yay. Mm-hmm. And let's see. And then from there,
There was a part where they were like, wait, how come we can, you know, he could do that? Well, it's probably because he was hiding in the building. There's like one of the panels where they were trying to find something like that was expired, and I was like, why?
Oh, yeah. to actually properly explain it, they show him participating in the scavenger hunt, and it said, scavenger hunt, theme, something near its expiration date. And he's walking around. I didn't notice this at first until I looked here, but he's got a grip on Arena's wrist and is basically dragging her along, and she's just like, wait, what are we doing? I really wish I could have seen the aftermath of what happened there. Her expression is just great. At first I thought she was just kind of, you know, just hovering, and it was just the artist saying, ha, she's old. Except, I don't think she is. She's like, what, in her 20s?
But, in her 20s.
Yeah. But it's actually literally Itona has gone and grabbed her. And he's like, here, you're near your expiration date. He's like, that's hard.
That's where he's acting, you know, stupid. So don't worry. It's not really a problem. It was on purpose to trick them. But like, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. And you have the talk with the... You have basically the chairman who's being all, I'm a douchebag. And then the, what's his face, Kevin, the American guy, is like, hey, I'm a stand up for my friend.
America.
Yeah, exactly. And then it turns out that that the chairman is like, all four of you come at me. And then, oh yeah, we skip that, no. We skip that and you end up, you know, seeing the, a little bit of the aftermath of the, you know, of the contest of the, and everyone is all, oh hey, you guys, classy, you're not so bad. But then you see that, yeah, that the chairman has basically wiped the floor with the four guys. You're just like, America?
Japan, Nippon, I mean. Well, yeah.
It was one of those weird moments because, and he says, hey, you know, I mastered karate within 3 days because originally I was beaten up, then I watched, and then I beat the guy up because I'd memorized all of his moves, etc. And I'm just like, okay,
that's
fair
called
enough.
That's called very obsessive OCD, but yeah. It kind of works because in a way, I have to agree words of knowledge. Watching someone do something that you fail at actually is the best way to learn.
Well,
it
yeah.
really is.
Except martial arts, you kind of need to, you know.
You actually have to tone yourself. Yeah, you can't. It's like, how the hell do you move that fast in like a day?
Yeah. But also, I'm pretty sure that he could be arrested for assault there, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, because those guys, if it is true that those guys are all in like high school, which I highly doubt. But if it is true, then, that's grounds for being arrested, I think.
Well, his school is super, you know, famous and stuff, and, you know, high
well,
class.
Well, yeah, but still.
He's got leverage.
Well, nonetheless, there's no amount of leverage that would get someone out of, oh, hey, he brutally beat up four kids. You know, there is no amount of leverage. If the president of the United States did that and people found out about it, there'd be no amount of leverage that would keep him from being lynched by the entire country.
Well, that's not United States, this is Japan.
I would like to assume that the Japanese, even the fictional Japanese, because keep in mind this is a manga, I'd like to assume that they wouldn't stand for someone doing that.
Oh, you know how the Japanese police are.
Yeah, well.
That's my stab at them. Anyway,
yeah. Carry on. Let's see. And then other than that, it's... It's basically everyone's like, oh, hey, look, we're all... It's like, oh, yay, we made it, and whatever, and it's like, oh, it ends with all the rich guys and class A is like, hey, let's go out, end the day with a high-class dinner. And then what's his face? Isogai is like, oh, wow, there's leftovers from the bread-eating competition. Can I take these home, please? Please? So you're like, yeah, he won, but then again...
Guided, well, yeah, but saying that there's also the part where Asano actually, I thought he would actually be a total D-bag and actually, like, say, oh, you know, I'm going to tell anyway because, you know, it's against the rules, but he actually kept his word and yeah. Didn't decide to tell an easy guy. I'm like, okay, so, yeah. There's actually some good in him there.
Yeah, this is
he has honor in him.
Yeah, this is definitely a character that is probably going to be redeemed at some point because, I mean, the main villain here is clearly the chairman, but...
I actually like the chairman. Even he is a total douchebag.
He is the villain. So, anyway.
I know.
Let's see. Yeah, so it was a good two chapters. I quite like them. But let's move on to... excuse me. Shokugeki no Soma, chapter 78. And... yeah, so it's basically this there is mostly Takumi trying to figure out what on earth he can do. While, you know, what's his face is, you know, making a better version, and it turns out he's like, oh, hey, I don't have any ingredients left, and whatnot, what can I do? I'm stuck on this track, there's nothing I, you know, nothing to do here.
With desserts, it's very difficult to actually find just make ingredients, so very limited, so he's really disadvantaged with the desserts.
Yeah, but then he finds his olive oil, and he decides to keep going, because he thinks of something. And then, what's-his-face presents his better version of the dessert, and you've got the one old guy, Oizumi, who is...
That's his name? Oh my god, I need to remember that name.
Yeah, Oizumi. He's basically going, he's like, you know what? I don't care, this guy was a douchebag. I'm not gonna give him... No, I'm not gonna... let him win this, basically. But then you have all of them. Yeah. And then...
all your judges are like, it doesn't matter. It's a Shogeki. Respect him or something.
All
like,
that
okay.
matter. Yeah, all that matters is the, you know, how the food tastes. And you've got such a weird moment where Oizumi is like, he's a meanie. He's like, that guy I hate is so cool. But his smile takes my feelings for a loop. And it's basically like a typical shoujo... like, art, and, except it's this old guy who is the schoolgirl character, and I'm like, oh gosh, why? and you end up the chapter with, turns out that Takumi added another layer to his dessert, and so, yeah, this chapter was pretty hilarious, just because you got that moment, right? You know, just the shoujo... girls, like, just the shoujo romance story art thing, stereotype, whatever. That was both hilarious and kind of creepy at the same time because it was this old guy.
Oizumi said, I almost became a maid. I'm like, no, you can't become a maid.
He's like, no, why?
Can't.
But yeah, I have to say, this is better than the, hey, look, we're all naked reaction that so many, that characters get so often, so... I have to say, it's funny. But, alright, let's move on to Shokugeki no Soma chapter 79, where we find out that Takumi added a lemon layer to his using the, you know, using the olive oil to make his, what is he called again? It's not a sauce, it's like, I think it's like he makes an emulsion of, come on, Paige. Yeah, just kind of like a lemon, you know, with lemon. But instead of using butter and eggs, he uses, you know, lemon, eggs, and olive oil. And it works quite well. They have a moment where it's like, oh, on the Italian countryside, the lemons and the dude with the pot, with the... popped collar standing there, and I'm like, will you stop it with the romance imagery? It's weird. But yeah, he makes lemon curd, that's what it is.
Ah.
And so, yeah. And so he makes it with that, and everyone's like, oh, this is really, really good. And it's like, oh, it's a British seasoning that he added to it. It's like, ah, he got away from using just, you know, just Italian ingredients. He's evolved his cooking, and then, yeah, and then let's see. There's, but there's, then there's, you know, there's a moment where they taste it again, and suddenly they're like, oh, hey, wait, something's wrong. And then it turns out that, what's his face? The, oh, what's his name again?
Subaru,
yeah. He, you know, he even planned for that. He knew that, hey, I know you have olive oil. He was like, I know everything. And, yep. And he used, he added in, you know, he added in a depth, another ingredient. The, he used preserved lemons to hide that in his ingredient. And so basically he, I guess, let's see. Yeah, so basically I guess what it was that happened was that he included the lemons in his and made it even better, but also managed to, I guess, influence the taste of Takumi's.
Yeah.
So it, yeah, so basically it's like it's good at first, but then when you try it again, it's like, got, I guess, an aftertaste. It doesn't specifically say that, but that's what I'm assuming happened. Yeah, but it's just like a tiny narrow margin, but then, yeah, this, Subaru ends up winning it, and he's this, like, they have this really cool imagery of him as, like, a devil, like, standing over Takumi and about to grasp, and you're like, oh, geez.
That totally works for me.
Yeah, what a jerk.
What an asshole.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, so I have to say these were some really good chapters, and I was absolutely surprised that Takumi would lose so badly. I mean, he hasn't, I don't know, he seems like the kind of character that, oh, he loses against the main character, but he beats everyone else, but he ends up losing anyway to someone that we've only just been introduced to, which I think is pretty fascinating, you know? And so, all right. Well, we got that. Let's see. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, or did you want to move on to Fairy Tale?
Let's move on. Subaru gives me a bad taste in the mind.
Yes, indeed. Well, for something that gives you a better taste, we have Chapter 393 of Fairy Tale, and that's some fan service on that cover page.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's very sweet.
Indeed, yeah. Like, she sure seems to be enjoying that hot dog. You know, one of these
love hot dogs.
Okay, then. No, but one of these days, what I want to see is I want someone either in a manga or an anime to take that typical scene. You've got a sexy girl, and she's either got a banana or a hot dog or a popsicle or something. And you play it off with a whole sort of, like, you know, sexualized scene where the girl is, like, you know, putting the phallically shaped object into her mouth, and then guys are watching, like, oh, that's so hot. And then she takes a massive bite out of it and then just, like, tears it away, and you've got, like, maybe if you did it with a hot dog, it would work so perfectly just because it's, like, you know, deep-throating it and then massive bite, tears it. You've got bits of the things, of the breading and the meat just kind of not still connected to the other end, and then just kind of pulling away in a strand, and then you've got all the guys who just wince and scream and whatnot and cover their crotches with their hands because they are now terrified, because why the heck are you sexualizing hot dogs? That's ridiculous.
I totally forgot that hot dogs are also a prime contender to have heart attacks from, because they have so much grease in them, and you can end up having terrible times sleeping because somehow grease does that to you and did that to me, and you have a heart attack, and
Mo, what the hell are you talking about?
I don't know.
That really has absolutely nothing to do with anything I just said, except for the fact that you were talking about hot dogs. Also, I like the little note here. It's like, asterisk, she's drunk.
No kidding.
Well, of course she's drunk. But yeah, anyway, let's talk about the actual chapter.
D-string. I mean,
Mo, let's talk about the actual chapter where it turns out that we get another twist. Silver is not Deliora. Silver is actually Silver. I guess Deliora is, in fact, actually dead. And then the actual Silver wants Gray to kill him because he's like, I'm not a human, I'm not a demon either, I'm a dead man. I've been dead 17 years now.
Dead man walking.
Yep, and then it turns out that, of course, as we were mentioned before, hey, there's a necromancer here, and this was already explained, so it's a nice twist, in that it's not suddenly, oh hey, this guy that looks like a skeleton is actually a necromancer, and we're only just revealing it now for the convenience of this plot twist. No, it had been mentioned before, hey, we've got a necromancer, and we're going to use him to revive the chairman and have him, you know, activate face. And so they actually introduced that before so that at the time of the original twist, we were aware that there's a necromancer, and so we hadn't, you know, and it allows you to sort of, like, you know, go back and think, oh, wait, no, that was already set up, so, okay. But yeah,
the problem is I read everything with tunnel vision, unlike most people, so I totally forget that sometimes.
I did too this time. I didn't even consider that. So it turns out that Silver was used as a, basically as a zombie that he was brought back as part of a, you know, he wanted to, the necromancer was trying to turn a corpse back into a living person as much as he could get. Yeah. And so, yeah, so it's kind of an interesting, thought because, I mean, I thought the reveal that the Silver was actually Deliora was a really awesome twist. And then yet, I'm not sure how to feel about this. On the one hand, I have to say that the whole, oh, hey, look, who is this? Could it be Gray's father? Oh, could it be? And there's like, no, nope, no, it isn't. Ha ha, I fooled you. It was Deliora. And then after that, it's like, lol, actually, it was Gray's father. So I'm like, a little whiplashed, and at the same time, I'm not sure if this is genius or stupid.
No, guess what? You got it right. No, you were wrong. No, you were actually right. Ha ha.
What?
What?
I have to say that the way that he went about doing this twist does work for me, and so it allows... granted, he's able to still do the, no, this is actually Gray's father, which had been made so obvious, but then he manages to use that against us to sort of, like, make the one twist even better, and then twisting it right back, which was...
Can I just mention, Wara Sequin? Mm-hmm. How his little thing is how he jokes, but he acts serious when it's acting to be a joke.
Yeah, it was
kind of like a rebirth here.
It's kind of foreshadowing all along.
Oh,
it's like, I'm being serious. No, I'm just joking. Lol, actually, I was being serious. But yeah, so, and then you also find out that Silver's basically saying, hey, I've been kind of, you know, I've been trying to fight the demons, and I was about to start a plan that will wipe out the whole guild, and, you know, so he was hunting demons all this time, but then he saw Gray, and he's like, my hands are dirty, I have no right to fight for you or my beloved wife, Mika. But then at the same time, you're just like, you're killing demons, I don't think that counts as having dirty hands, but whatever.
Demons are evil, pure evil.
Yes, but anyway, he says, hey, Gray, you should kill me, because I'm already dead, so just, you know, sorry, I hurt you. And Gray is like, you know what, even if you share my blood, even if you are my father, you're an enemy of Fairy Tail, and I gotta protect my guild. And then he's like, I know, but I just can't kill you, and he's crying and everything. It's like, oh, hey, that's also part of being human. And then turns out that he can use telepathy, and he contacts Juvia, and of course there's the, are you his girlfriend joke, which comes up so often mm-hmm. in shows, in these kind of things, when parents meet the actual, parents meet girls that either like the main character or the girl that the main character likes. In this case, here's hoping that this doesn't end up the way Naruto does. But anyway, yeah, so you've got, basically, he tells Juvia, hey, you have to stop the necromancer because, you know, he's the only one that can, you know, activate the face bombs by using the chairman. Also, yeah, sure, this will hurt Gray by killing me, but you know what? It's better that you finish the guy off to save everyone, and also it's better for Gray if I just die and Gray isn't the one that has to do it. So, all right.
Juvia, it's your time to shine.
Indeed. I liked it. It was a good chapter. I mean, the twist was, I was a little iffy at first because of the twist, because it's all, oh, hey, look, he's, you know, it's the twist that was, that he did is not the actual twist. Oh, no.
I almost thought it was Shyamalan as he writing it. I thought, oh, my God, yes, he got good. No, it's much better than this guy.
Indeed. Well,
much better than that.
It was a good chapter. I liked it, and I like the kind of like the direction that we're going in. I mean, I think this arc of Fairy Tail has been, for the most part, I've been enjoying it the past couple months. So
yeah, I actually enjoy it. Yeah.
Indeed. Yep. All right. So now we need to talk about the Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 86. Yep. So we will have to see. So this one. You've got, what's-her-face, Jericho, basically transforms into a giant demon, except
she's
still...
Yeah, it took a while to me, too. I had to read out, like, when did she transform? Oh, yeah, it is.
Well, she is still sticking out of the demon, which makes the whole thing seem even creepier, when you've still got part of them sticking out. But, you know, they fight her and try to, you know, hold her back, and you've got... Diane, of course, has a really cool scene where she kind of... starts grappling with the demon, and it really looks cool because, you know, because she's basically the only one big enough to fight it on equal terms. So I thought that's kind of, it's a really cool image. And let's see, what else do we have? Let's see. And then everyone's like, oh, hey, all the new generation are turning into demons. Somebody's activated their blood. And then you find out that Hendrickson, and everyone's like, wait, you look different.
Okay, I wonder why.
Yeah, and like, you've got demon blood inside you, don't you?
Well, it's the first time seeing him, so I guess that, too.
Yeah, and we have a pretty fun couple of fights. You've got King that shows up and, you know, has a really cool scene where he's just pointing all of his daggers at Hendrickson, but then he's all, were you expecting this, too? And he's like, of course, and sends him flying. And then turns out that Hellbrum is still alive, except he's dead. He died 150 years ago, except that, you know, the fairy folk don't decay, so he ended up buying him and buying the corpse and gave him temporary life. So using basically a necromancy spell.
And necromancy, well, you know.
Yeah. And of course it is kind of like, oh, well, this is kind of messed up. And then, let's see, you've got Meliodas and Gilthunder try to fight. But then it turns out that Vivian has grabbed Margaret. No, is it Margaret?
Margaret.
Yeah, Margaret and Elizabeth. And then thanks to that distraction, Hendrickson slices and stabs Gilthunder and Meliodas. And so they're kind of in a bad... you know, in a bad place there. And see, this is kind of messed up where it's like, Vivian's like, hey, this isn't what you promised. It's like, yes, it is. He's all yours. Now that he's a corpse, he'll never run away from you ever.
I hope no, not again. That joke.
Yep.
Too much necromancy here. Too much necromancy here. So.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, but of course Elizabeth says, hey, I'll go with you. Just don't hurt them anymore. And then that's basically where the end of the chapter, with Elizabeth leaving and... let's see. And
about then, the very end.
Yep. Then Bond shows up and he's like, ah, found you, Captain. And he's like, oh, man, that's messed up. And you've got Hawk who's just there and he's like, don't know how to feel about this. This isn't good. And so, yeah.
It's a Bond's new weapon.
Yeah, it's a tri-section staff.
Tri-nenchaku. Well, it's tri-section staff, to be
honest. Yes.
It might be a tri-nenchaku.
Yeah. So, yeah, what did we think of this chapter? This was a... good, you know, it was a good moving way to move from whatchamacallit, from from oh hey look, we're winning to oh crap, we're screwed. I liked it.
Yeah, it felt too soon to me for Anderson's off, but yeah, he's not dead. Too easy.
Indeed.
But I was like, when I saw Jericho transfer, I was like, well, there goes the fan service theme all night. Not that she was really of any use, but okay.
No. There's no way to get any good fan service from that character because I was too busy complaining about the armor.
Yeah, the armor. Complaining about the armor.
Yep. Anyway.
But yeah, the part where Hendrickson was like, hey, look, I revived Hellrum, not dead. He's still here. Guess what? You get to kill him again a third time. Like, what the heck, man? It's messed up.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man.
It's like, usually you kill your best friend turned evil twice, but you don't kill them three times. You're very lucky.
Mm.
No, no, man, no.
Indeed.
That's just messed up.
Indeed. All right, well, I think that wraps us up there with all that we've gone over the chapters, so let's actually wrap things up.
Yep.
And as usual, this has been episode 106. Was it 106? I think it was 106.
Hey, 106.
Yeah. So for the week of July
21st,
yes. Perfect. All right. And this week we went over... What did we go over?
Fairy Tail Volume 40 and Terraform Mars Volume 1.
Perfect. Excellent. Excellent. And, of course, for next week we'll be going over Volumes 7 and 8 of Attack on Titan. And we also talked about this week's chapters. So let's go ahead and go over the author comments quickly. For World Triggers, Daisuke Ashihara, the anime starts in the fall, and I've been helping a bit with the script. Maybe he's using that as a way to, you know, fix the mistakes he made early on. He's like, need to fix these.
Need to fix these mistakes while the anime's premiering. Hang on, I'm trying to open this.
Yep.
I had the wrong page open. Oops.
Indeed. And, all right, what's the next one?
Hang on.
One Piece is Eiichiro Oda. The Taiwan One Piece exhibit is a huge success. I went to Taiwan to thank everyone who made it happen. People are amazing.
Lucky guys. I want Oda to come over. Yeah, anyways, right. To Comic-Con. But yeah, he'll probably be like, oh, man, it's too crowded. I'm going to leave now. Nah, I'm kidding. He probably won't, but he'll want to do that. But anyways. Nisko's Nashikomi, at this age, I finally started reading novels. I've been devouring them. Reading sure is good. Dang right.
Huh, that's kind of interesting. Is it just not as common in Japan to read novels, or what?
Well, you know, they have comics mostly, and they tend to draw a lot. And I guess when it comes to writing in Japan, it's very, very, very complicated. I mean, there are characters in anime and manga who actually have difficulty reading their own language. I'm like, well...
Yeah.
Can't complain about that.
That would be kind of funny where it's like, the reason we do comics is because our language is too complicated for, you know, novels. But whether that's the case, I don't know. All right.
That's probably the case.
Yep. Bleach's Tite Kubo. I saw 300 Rise of an Empire. It was totally different from the first movie.
But it does go to show that writing is a way, way harder thing to learn than drawing is. Anyways, Naruto Masashi Kishimoto. My daughter asked me to read her the picture book, The Ghost of the Cake Store, but I was the one who ended up crying.
Okay. All right. Hunter x Hunter's Yoshihiro Togashi. I often can't find my TV remote. But that's not really a work tool. Do my glasses count?
Yes. What do you think, Derek?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Next one.
Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shinbokuro. I'm looking forward to season 4 of The Solitary Gourmet. I love Kitsumi's segment.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds fun.
You should look that up.
Indeed. All right, then. Let's do our rankings quickly, shall we?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Rankings.
Oh, hey, One Piece was in this chapter. Okay, good.
that's pretty easy to rank right there.
Okay, my number 4 is Toriko.
Oh, okay.
Don't ask me why I can't... Oh, wait, no, now I remember. Because Toriko gets his butt handed to him, and it's kind of awesome.
Mm.
All right, what's your number 4?
Toriko too.
Okay. Cool. All right.
His butt gets handed to him. Like.
Yeah. All right, number 3 is World Trigger, just because I really like that. It's like, you know, especially with the ending where it's Chika starts to get transformed. It was quite exciting.
Oh, dang. That's so hard. How did I sign number 3? Okay, Nisekoi.
Alright, fair enough.
It was good. I mean, you know, I guess I can kind of like Haru now a bit, and her friend, I can like her friend more, actually. Hilarious. And, the cosplay thing was kind of nice. I don't get one of their cosplay. I mean, you say Lolita Gothic outfit, but the rest are very easy to figure out, but this one is... Plus, Ruri's Viking outfit is the best one.
Oh, yeah. That is quite entertaining, yes. All right, and that's why number 2 is Nisekoi for me, just because I thought it was really hilarious with the, You know, with the whole, oh, hey, I'll do this trap for you, and oh, by the way, you're signed up for a, beauty pageant. So it's like, okay then. Yep, and your number two is?
One Piece.
Yep. Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, why is it only number two?
Well, the number one. It gets number one for me this time around. Anyways, because, still better than the rest. God. Okay, well, basically, it's how it sets up with Luffy, Law, Cameron, and Kuro's going up to go fight Doflamingo. Of course, they'll get to separate at some point. And how it showed that Bellamy's actually very well improved over time. And it kind of shows that he might just actually start to doubt Doflamingo. He probably won't betray him still, but he'll probably have conflicting, because he's already had conflicting issues in the first place. And I like the fact that it's kind of foreshadowing that Kuro's will fight Diamante.
Yeah.
Of course, he will fight Diamante. Maybe Rebecca will join, so it'll be like a father-daughter team up on him. This guy's pretty powerful anyway.
True. Yeah, well, my number one was One Piece, just because I thought it was awesome. So, there we go.
Well,
what was your number one?
Bleach.
Oh, really? How come?
Well, okay, other than the initial beginning part, it was Mayuri. Mayuri is going to make everything feel so cathartic when he beats the crap out of Giselle or DJ or whatever the heck her name is. Yeah.
Indeed. Well,
praise the sun!
Yep. Alright then. And I think that about takes care of that. So this has been Manga Cube episode 106. And just remember, the manga is always better. And we will see you all next week.
Yeah.